would like to go. We're not sure about one of the teachers. One of the teachers bites kids. So much. Isn't it great we can laugh, isn't it? God has given us this medicine, and we're so grateful for that. I want to read, turn to John 4, John chapter 4. I want to read a short passage. It has nothing to do with Christmas whatsoever, but we're gonna bend it a little bit and make it work, okay? There's something there's a question that I want to ask all of you, but let me read this passage of Scripture first. John chapter 4, just five verses, 7 through 11. A story you're very familiar with. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Question number one. Has Jesus ever asked you to give him something? Has Jesus ever asked you to give him something? Now, he asked this Samaritan woman for something that he, I believe, really needed, a drink of water. But he asked her that question in order to open a discussion with her that would change her life. Not only would it change her life, but it would change the nation of Samaria. Because with that one question, give me something to drink, he made it possible for her to be aware of the fact that there was something more than water in that well. He had living water, and he wanted to share that living water with her. And in doing so, it opened up a revival in the entire nation of Samaria. Dozens and dozens and dozens of people got saved because he asked her that one question. And she was someone that normally the Jews wouldn't speak to. So he gave her a gift that she never anticipated, never saw coming. And so the main question that I want to ask all of us this morning is, this is Christmas coming up. What will you and I give Jesus? You know, we're buying gifts. We're thinking about giving gifts to the family and loved ones and friends. But we're celebrating Jesus' birth. What will we give Jesus? And now that question can be answered very easily. If we don't do anything, we can just say, oh, I'm going to give him my heart. Well, if you're saved this morning, you've already done that. You can only give it to him once. So have you thought about what you might give Jesus at this Christmas season? Every Christmas season is a little different. And last Christmas, we never imagined we would be under the circumstances that we are under right now. And we don't know what is in this next year to come, but he does. And he's not afraid of it. And had we known what was coming, we might have been a little fearful last Christmas. When you think about it, Because that is one of the things that this virus has instilled fear into a lot of the population. And you see, as part of, we are part of the church of Jesus Christ. He is the head of this church. And it means something as to what's going on. We try to live by this book. But what happens to us, the environment we find ourselves in, the situations that we find ourselves in, are covered in this book, but we need to be realistic. We need to be practical. We need to make application for what we have needs of today. And one of the things that we need to do is we need to, in our own hearts and minds, we need to be prepared to give a gift to Jesus. Some of us spend a lot of time trying to think of, well, what am I going to get her or him? But do you spend any time thinking about what you might give to Jesus at this time of year especially? Because this time of year, I believe the heart is a little more tender. And because it's tender, we think of other people. I know this morning before Sunday school, while I was getting the coffee ready, I happened to glance out the window and see someone pull up and get some stuff out of the blessing box. And what a ministry some of you ladies have started, and the blessings that you have been to people. And others of you haven't contributed, you have given gifts. At first Sunday of each month, we take up an offering to help stock the blessing box, and some of you have contributed to that. And you're a part of what goes on out there. Now, that may not get somebody saved, but it's surely going to get them fed. And it's not just food they're putting in the blessing box. They're gloves, other things. Yeah, and Bibles are getting taken, by the way, folks. Don't forget, we've been three generations without the Bible in school, and some people have never seen one. But they come by and there's one laying there and they take it with them. They might accidentally read it. Wouldn't that be something? So, you know, it's easy for us to say, well, I'm going to give Jesus my heart this year. Well, okay, if you don't know Jesus, that's fine. We'd love to have you give him your heart. But there are other things that you and I can give him that he would like to have. And so this morning, I'd like for us to think about that a little bit. We have a lot of things that we think belong to us, even though they were given to us by Jesus. We have time. He gives us time. We're all still here. And that's one of the things he gives us. So that's something we can give back. We can invest some time for him. God gives us time to be used, and he gives it to us however we want to use it. But wouldn't it be sort of nice if we gave a little bit of it back to him? Considering that he has given us everything we have, all the material stuff we have belongs to him at one time. He has given it to us to use for a short while. But is there any of it we can give back to him? Just like the school. Yeah, I never expected, I got their Christmas card, I never expected to find anything in it. When I opened it, there was a check for $500. They pay rent over there, folks. But still, they want to give to the ministry here that makes it possible for them to have a place to be. And we're going to put that $500 towards that sign out there. We want to get that going again. And that's one of the things we're going to deal with on the 10th of January is, what are we going to do about that sign? Okay? And because we can reach people with that every day, every hour of the day. Not just when we're having services here. We have a lot of things that we think belong to us, but God has given them to us. Psalm 32:6 tells us this, "For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee, in a time when thou mayest be found, surely in the floods of general waters, they shall not come nigh, and in the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him." We can give him some of our time. You say, well, what have I got to do that I can do, give to Jesus? You can pray. That's an offering to him. You know, in the book of Revelation, it talks about it. It talks about it two or three times, that God saves our prayers for the time of the tribulation. And they are going to be offered to him as a sweet-smelling savor. He's actually got them in golden vials. They're in heaven waiting for the time when it would be appropriate. And so we can read in Revelation how he uses them. So we can give him some time in prayer. We have a lot to be thankful for. Now, I know we just celebrated Thanksgiving, but we can be thankful this morning that we're not in intensive care, okay? I'm glad I'm not there. I'm glad I'm not in prison someplace. I'm glad that my wife doesn't beat me up. I'm glad for a lot of things, and we can give God thanks. We can give Jesus thanks. It's a gift that we can give back to him. What are you planning on giving Jesus this year? Well, in Psalm 18:49, it tells us, "Therefore will I give thanks to thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name." Well, let's praise him at Christmas time. Let's praise him for what he has done for each one of us. How he is caring for us. How he is there for us. We're not alone. When I was a young man, they used to sing a song, and I would sing it too. "You never walk alone." It's been many years since I've heard that song. But it's the truth. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will never walk alone, no matter what kind of circumstances you find yourself in. What else can we give to Jesus for his birthday? Well, David, who served as king of Israel for about 40 years, wrote many psalms. We read those in the book of Psalms. He's not the only one who wrote them, but he wrote many psalms. And in Psalm 29, verses 1 and 2, he suggests this in his psalm. "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give to the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." We can give God holiness in our own lives. You might wonder, well, how can we do that? What is holiness? Holiness is the absence of sin. Holiness is the absence of sin. And we can live lives that are free of sin. Well, it's hard to get through a day without something happening that God might consider sin. But we can work at it. We can put some effort. And it mentioned, this psalm mentioned strength. And so we might invest some of our strength in living for Jesus. Now, in verse 2, it tells us to do something very special. It tells him to worship him in the beauty of holiness. And I had to ask myself, what makes holiness beautiful? What makes holiness beautiful? Well, one thing about holiness, like I said, is a lack of sin. Holiness is the pure will of God in our life. The pure will of God in our life. So we're going to have to spend some time praying, asking the Holy Spirit to take us to that place where we are in the center of God's will. And that, folks, could be a gift to God, a gift to Jesus, that we are where he wants us to be. Ever have your kids running everywhere you don't want them to be? Yeah. Ever have your mate where you don't want him to be? Doing what you don't want him to do. We can be in the middle of God's word, exactly where he wants us to be. And if we are in that place, he can use us as a tool in his hands. Because he has a lot of things he wants to accomplish. One of the things he wants to accomplish, he wants to see people get saved. He wants to rescue people from the edge of hell. And there are a lot of people living right on the edge this morning. And it might take just a word to keep them from stepping off. That'd be a gift to God. That'd be a gift to Jesus. I'm so grateful that God doesn't show his love and his grace to mankind just one time. God has expressed his love to each one of you over and over and over. How happy, if you have a mate or had a mate, how happy would that mate have been if the day you got married you said, okay, I love you, and never said it again? Huh? Well, God doesn't leave us out there. You remember a couple weeks ago, Jesus compared us to marriage. He keeps telling us he loves us different ways. I'm just so glad that he didn't do it one time and then just quit and leave us alone. God, because he loves us, he gave us his written word. He gave us this book we call the Bible. And it is exciting. I wish Diana was in here. She started putting Bibles out there and they started disappearing and she got very excited about that. And that's good, folks. It is. We're buying Bibles now to put out there. Not just food. We're giving them physical food, but we're giving them spiritual food too. And the quicker we can get that sign going, the more spiritual food we can give them as they're driving by back and forth. You know, God has performed many miracles to make it possible for all of us to sit here this morning. He fulfilled the prophecy of a virgin to be with child. And that virgin was with child, and she brought forth that child, and she named him Jesus. And he lived a perfect life to show us it could be done. And then he died for our sin. He gave us a gift. We gave our hearts to him, our gift to him. And he's in possession of those now. We're called the children of God. And God is taking care of every one of us this Christmas. We're not having to live out in the woods or a field. Ricky might want to be out in the woods, but he's not. He's got a home and a wife. God's good to all of us. So I want to share just a little bit with you this morning about what you and I can give to Jesus. Now, in order for me to be able to tell you what we have to give to the Lord, I have to turn to the Word of God, and it's going to tell me a little bit about this. And so I'm going to turn to Psalm 96, 7 and 8. It says this, "Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name, bring an offering, and come into his courts." Many of you every month give an offering to the Lord. You see, you do have stuff to give the Lord. You have a tithe if you want. We're to give God glory for all that he's accomplishing in our lives. And then we're to give him our strength, both physical and moral, in service to him. And when we come to the part, and I've been trying to sort of figure it out, bring an offering, what do any of us have to offer that the Lord hasn't already given us? What have you got to offer this morning? Now, some of you have been offering it, not thinking about it, and I hope you're thinking about it as an offering. But God has given certain of you talents. And you bring those talents and you share them as they were shared this morning. That's an offering to the Lord. It's a gift given back. So bring an offering. God has given each of us special talents. For example, he gave Fanny Crosby a talent for poetry. Now, a lot of people say, well, Fanny Crosby wrote this hymn. No, she didn't. She wrote poems. And as she wrote those poems, different folks came along and said, oh, that needs to be put to music. And so Fanny Crosby wrote the words, but William H. Doane wrote the music. As we're blessed as we sing, to God be the glory. Fanny Crosby wrote the words for the poem, and Chester A. Allen wrote the music, and we put our heart into singing, praise him, praise him. Fanny Crosby wrote the words, and John R. Sweeney wrote the music, and who doesn't enjoy singing, tell me the story of Jesus? Isn't it fantastic? God's given you talents too. Talents that you can use. I'm sure that when Fanny Crosby wrote her first poem, she never dreamed that people would be singing her words. In her lifetime, from what I have read, she wrote over 8,000 poems. 8,000. Maybe you can write one for the Lord, for the glory of the Lord. Write one, just one. You see, we all have talents. We all have ways that we can serve the Lord and glorify him. And we're not doing it for me or for you. We're doing it for him. Now, when the Lord gives us a talent, he expects us to use that for him. We can use it for us and try and make profit off from it, or we can try and use it so we get the glory. You say, oh, isn't he wonderful? Isn't he good? Isn't he talented? But God's the one who gave it. And God expects us to give it back. Part of it. We tithe our income. Why don't we tithe our talents? Why don't we tithe our time? Now, as I was preparing this message a while back for this morning, the Lord put me under conviction. He said, I gave you a talent. You're not using it. People, there's nothing wrong with coming under conviction. It's a good thing. It means God is still talking to you. God still loves you. God wants to use you for Him. Tim knows what I'm talking about. I hope you know one day. God doesn't need any one of us. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. He's self-sufficient. He can do anything He wants to do, and He doesn't need us, but He gives us the blessing of doing things for Him and thinking we're accomplishing something. That there's not one of us He can't live without. But let me tell you something more important than that. There's not one of us He wants to live without. He wants you. He wants all of us. And He wants us to use what we have, what He has given us. Sometimes He gives us a talent and it has to be honed and sharpened, and we have to develop a skill to use it, to experience. And maybe there's a talent He has given one of you that you haven't been using for Him. Try and see if you can find a place where it fits in. No matter what it is, maybe a talent, you're a great cook. Okay, fatten us all up. What can we give to Jesus at this season? I'd like to make a suggestion or two, since it would be short-sighted for me to challenge you with that question and not give you some options. Let me give you an idea how you could fulfill that challenge. I'd like to suggest that, first of all, you find some quiet spot. You sit down. And you ask God, what would you like from me for Christmas? Now, we do the same thing. We call our children, we call our family, we call our friends. What would you like for Christmas? Have you ever asked Jesus what He would like from you for Christmas? And then, have you just sort of sat there and listened for that still small voice tell you, you could give me this? Maybe it's something that you really are very fond of. You can give me this. Oh, but Jesus, I can't give you that. I love that. I enjoy that. You know, there are places in the world, and Jocelyn can confirm this because she's lived in some of those places. But there are places in the world that if somebody says, I really like that, what you've got there, that you are required by custom and tradition to give it to them. Right? Yeah. That's a beautiful table. We'll take it with you when you go. I like that shirt you're wearing. Okay, give them the shirt off your back. Some of you would do that, I know. But there are things, people, that every one of us can give Jesus if we're willing to. If we're willing to. So you find a quiet spot. You ask them, okay, what do you want me to give you? Now, you might not like the answer you get because it may be a little abrasive in your lifestyle. Or it may be something that you are really, really fond of. But he asks you to give that back to him. And that would be the kind of gift that he would like. And that would be a blessing to you to get rid of by giving it to him. Now, there are gifts. Every Christmas, you and I, if you're exchanging gifts at work or, you know, where with neighbors and stuff or in some kind of a social activity, somebody gives you a white elephant. Something you don't have a clue as to how you will ever use it. Well, there you have one clue. You're going to save it for next year and give it back. Okay. There are gifts that are of value. There are gifts that are totally vain. But we don't want to give a vain gift to Jesus. We want to give him something of value to us. Because he knows what's of value to you, and if you give him something of value, he knows that you love him enough to give that to him. Like I said, if somebody asks you, well, what can I give Jesus for Christmas? Oh, I'll give him my heart. We've already done it. Like I said, you can only do that one time. But there are things that you can give back to Jesus, and you need to take some time to think about what that might be. If you love God and you love Jesus, and you ask him what he wants you to give him for Christmas, he will give you an answer. You may find it in the Word as you're reading, doing your Bible reading. You may find it through an impulse in your heart to do something that normally you wouldn't do. You see, whatever you're going to do for him, whatever you're going to give to him, you are not in heaven right now. And I'm glad of that. I'm glad you're here. God is in heaven. Jesus is in heaven. So if you're going to do something for him, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to do it for somebody here. Somebody you may not know. Somebody you just meet. But you're going to have to do it for somebody who lives here on earth. A real person. And so you may have an impulse at your heart, oh, do this for so-and-so. Give that lady $20 in the grocery store. who you can see looking at shelving and knowing that she would like to have something, but she hasn't got the money to buy it. I shared with you when a guy walked up to Connie and I a few months ago at the grocery store and said, here, let me buy that for you. I've never seen him before in my life. Probably never see him again. I don't know if it was an angel or if it was just a brother in Christ that the Holy Spirit was speaking to. You have the Holy Spirit in your heart. He wants to speak to you. He wants to tell you what you can give Jesus. Take some time. Like I said, you're going to have to do it for somebody here on earth, but you can do it. And it doesn't have to be a big thing. Jesus said if you get as simple a thing, and as much, he told his disciples, he said in Mark 9:41, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And if you give a cup of cold water to some stranger because they're thirsty, there's a reward waiting for you. If you do it for Jesus. We need to be giving Jesus and our Heavenly Father many gifts as we go through this life. Colossians 3:14-17 says, and above all these things, put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And then this is the part of this passage, verse 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. That's what Jesus wants for Christmas. Every time that we do that, the Word of God tells us that we're giving a gift to Jesus. What kind of a gift are you going to give him this time of year? We give gifts to demonstrate our love, and at this particular time of year, we do that often. We decorate our homes and our church to express our joy and let people know that this is a very special time to us and that our Savior has come to earth and purchased our souls from sin for eternity. So what we don't need to pay for our sins. We're never going to have to because they've been forgiven. Why would we not include Jesus in our Christmas giving? Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for giving us such an unspeakable gift. Father, a gift that is not just temporal or for the time being, but a gift that is going to last for all eternity. And Father, as we think about you and we think about your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, at this time of year, may we find gifts to give back. You don't need us. You don't need the gifts. But Father, to demonstrate our love, help us to find gifts that we can give to Jesus. And then Father, enable us. Give us the strength, the courage, and the ability give those gifts back. And we will praise you for all that you do, because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.